All right, we're turning to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 22 through verse 24. And we're just going to title this tonight, God's Counsel and Life. We have both of these subjects which are tied together. Notice in verse, as we begin here in verse 22, last week or the last time we met, we were in verse 16 through 21. We titled that Better Things. But tonight, God's Counsel and Life. Verse 22 through 24, he says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this opportunity again to assemble together, and we thank Thee for the privilege to be able to open Thy Word and look into it, and dear God, and sing the songs of Zion. And we pray now Your blessings and Your anointing to be upon the reading of Thy Holy Scripture, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We'll spend just a little bit of time here in verse 22. We've actually preached on this already in the text, in the book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, we've got one sermon out of chapter 11 and verse 14 titled, A Multitude of Counselors. And we also have one in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, that is titled, He Shall Direct Thy Path. As we look here in verse 22, we find here, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, one of my favorite subjects, and I have many, but one of my favorite subjects has been the will of God. And this ties in with the subject of counsel. When he mentions counsel here in verse 22, he's talking about the counsel of God. And I have, this is, again, it's one of my cherished subjects, to study the will of God, to know the will of God. I have preached on it. I have written on it. I desire to walk in it. And I made mention to you, I only read point number one when I used George Mueller from the 1800s last Sunday morning. And he's got a 6-point outline how he would ascertain the will of God. And he's got some really good points in there. And the first one is getting our hearts right. And that's what chapter 3 is all about. Now, when we come here, he says in verse 22, he says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, again, when he speaks here, a multitude of counselors, and I'm going to give you some verses that I gave in previous sermons, and we will keep running across these, and we'll remind ourselves of them. But we find here when he mentions a multitude of counselors, we find that there is safety in this. But he's talking about good counselors. He's not talking about going to someone who will just tell you what you want to hear. He's talking about those that will speak forth the truth of God's Word. And the word counsel here, again, it could be used in the secular world, but here in the Bible, this speaks of the value of God's counsel in our lives. So he's talking about godly counsel, godly instruction, godly advice, godly guidance and teaching. He's referring again to the Scripture, the Word of God. And let me just briefly go through some of the passages, and if you want to I'll just mention chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, where he's talking about the law, the commandments, and having the peace of God. He also says in verse 5 through verse 8, he said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." And this has been one of my favorite passages. When I wrote an article on the will of God, this is the text that I had in mind and used to especially begin with. And I'm going to give you some others. In chapter 11, we got a whole sermon from this chapter, again titled, "A Multitude of Counselors." In chapter 11 and in verse 14, a similar statement that we just read, he said, "Where no counsel is, the people fall." And he said, "But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Now, God's not repeating himself just because he wants to fill up some space. There's a reason for this. We see this thought again in chapter 19, if you want to just follow along. Chapter 19, I want to read two verses, verse 20 and 21. And now here's the thing that we've got to remember. We will either get counsel from the world, or we'll get it from God. And it's either going to come from heaven, or it's either going to come from hell, as in James chapter 3. And we have a choice. But he said in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 19, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Again, we find in chapter 20 and in verse 18, he says, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." Notice again in chapter 21, or chapter 24. In chapter 24, these are I think I gave you at least most of these, chapter 24, and in verse 6, we have this again, very similar. He said, "By wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Chapter 27 in verse 9, we find here in this passage, he says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doeth the sweetness of a man's friends by hearty counsel." So we see the importance of God's counsel. Now, we also know, and we've covered this and we will be covering it, in chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We're going to find in our text tonight in Proverbs 15 the issue of life and death and hell. So here he says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man." Have you ever just, this has to be right, and then you find out later that it's not right? And by the way, this verse is repeated exactly the way it is here in chapter 14 and verse 12. And again, God's not just filling in space. God's not saying, "Well, I need to put a Bible together and we need to fill in all this space." He repeats these things for a reason. "So there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Did you realize that we can be sincerely wrong? We can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. And Judges chapter 21 and verse 25 says that the people, and I'm not quoting the whole verse, but they did what was right in their own eyes. Does that not sound like America today? In other words, they refuse the counsel of God. I want you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 81. Notice with me in Psalms 81. And I want to give you another verse after we get here in the book of Psalms. You can just jot down. But in Psalms 81, I want to read at least verses 10 through 13. Psalms 119, verse 24 says this, "Thy testimonies," now he's talking about the Word of God, he said, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." So David is writing and saying, the word of God is my counsel, not the things, you know, of this world. And I've learned over the years that there's some that won't ask for advice. Now, they might ask somebody in the world, but they won't ask for biblical advice. And then there's some that will ask and then walk away and just ignore it. I have preached on particular things over the years, and I've seen people listen to it and look at it and walk away and just do the very opposite. And the end result is not good for those individuals. Isaiah 9:6, by the way, Jesus Christ is a wonderful counselor. And He's the one that's given us the Word by the Spirit. So He is to be our counselor. When we need advice, we go to the Word of God. We go to the Lord in prayer. And if we don't feel comfortable with or that we don't understand something, then we look out for godly, pick out godly people who will give us biblical advice and give us biblical counsel. In Psalms 81, see, I have to get counsel sometime, even as a preacher. And I'm very picky when it comes to who I ask for counsel. I want them to tell me what they know that is in the Scripture, you know, about something. Now notice as we read verses 10, actually we could read through verse 10 through 16, but let me just do verses 10 through 13. This will get the point across here to us. And he said in verse 10, he said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. He said in verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Verse 12, so I gave them up. Now there's the end result of rejecting the counsel of God. When people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the end result. And when anyone rejects the counsel of God, God will eventually give that person up. And he said, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. And you don't want that to happen. He goes on to say, and they walked in their own counsel. See, notice verse 13, all that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. That's a wonderful passage, isn't it? And he goes on to elaborate on that. But go back with me to our text and notice as we come back and we're reading verse 22 again. And again, we've already got about two, three, maybe four sermons centered around the straight and narrow path, the will of God, things of that nature. And we've got one titled, A Multitude of Counselors. So in verse 22, coming back to this again, he said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. And that is so true. When we don't consult God and His Word. And he goes on to say, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Again, we've seen two other verses says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All right, now notice the next verse in verse 23. And I believe these are connected. He said in verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Now, when he talks about a man hath joy, a man or a woman, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. This is true when the mouth is under divine discipline. In other words, when we speak forth truth, when we speak forth what is right, we can be happy with the answer that we give to someone else. Notice in chapter 12, notice we'll be in chapter 12, I'm reading in verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense, that's payback, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. In other words, it will return unto him. But the first part of this verse says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Notice also in chapter 13. Notice in chapter 13, I'm reading in verse 2. He says here, again, there's a contrast. He said, but a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Again, verse 2 and 3 is speaking of the tongue, speaking of our words. So in verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Notice with me in chapter 25. In chapter 25, in verse 11. 25 and in verse 11. So we will have joy with the answers that we give to others. We will have happiness and confidence if we speak forth the things of God. And notice in chapter 25, verse 11, we may, when we get to this passage, whenever that will be, spend a whole sermon on that. But notice he said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Talking about what? Our words that we speak forth. One writer said, of course, this verse is speaking of the value of words. But one writer says, as a basket of silver in which delicious fruit are in, the beauty of the texture sets off the fruit with additional charm. That's a wonderful passage right there, speaking of the value of our words. Notice back in our text in verse 15. Let's read this again. He said in verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Again, when he is speaking forth the truths of God's word, he's speaking good things. He goes on to say in the passage, he says, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? In due season, in other words, at the right moment, at the suitable, in a suitable manner, put it that way. One writer said, we speak wisely when we speak seasonably. In other words, sometimes there's things, it may be right, but it's not the right time to say it. Many a good word is lost by being spoken out of season. In the book of Ecclesiastes 8, you can write this down in verse 5. I want to give you a quote by another author, but the verse reads like this. It says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And one writer said, in reference to that verse, he says, when wise men discern both time and judgment, the word is doubly effective. So it's speaking in verse 21, verse 23, we have two things here that to consider, and both of them very positive. One is, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, can feel good and can be happy about what he has spoken when he's spoken the things of God. And secondly, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Well, it is good. Good advice blesses the giver and the receiver. Both are blessed when good things are spoken. And one example of this is 1 Samuel. I'm not going to turn there, but 1 Samuel 25, verse 32 and 33. David took Abigail's advice, and it kept him from shedding blood. He was angry. He was going to take vengeance upon someone. Well, Abigail's husband and the servants and so forth. Well, he took her advice, and it kept him from shedding blood. Both were blessed because her husband was wicked, and God took his life, her husband's life, and gave her to David, his wife. So the giver and the receiver both is an example there of being blessed. And there's so many verses, and we have covered these, but let me just remind you of a few. In Matthew 24, verse 35, says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And this is in the context of the Lord speaking to a generation of vipers. He said, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Verse 34, he speaks of every idle word in verse 36 that we will give an account of. But again, verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." And we would find that we closed last Sunday morning in a passage I want to read to you again, because my emphasis was on a different part of the verse. But in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we closed with this, I believe it was last Sunday morning. And it said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And that was my emphasis then. He goes on to say, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So again, here we are to give the right answer to those that have questions, or to give the right answer of this hope that is within us. And again, we've looked at this before, but I'll give it to you one more time. You'll have these written down several times in your Bible throughout a year, or in your notebook. But in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6, this ties in with what we're reading in Proverbs. It said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So this ties in with our passage in Ephesians 4, verse 29. He also says this. He said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may," now listen, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So all of this ties together. Now let's come back to our passage. And notice in verse 23 again, see how this ties in with verse 22, and we're going to see verse 24 will also speak into the way of life and the way of death. But verse 23, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth." You know that you can, that God will make us happy when we speak forth His word and speak forth the things that are right. So he says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season." Again, at the right time, how good is it? Well, it is extremely good. And the giver and the receiver is blessed in the answer or the words that are spoken. Now we come to verse 24. And in verse 24, he says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Now we've mentioned the wise, and you can write down chapter 1 and verse 5. I meant to give you this to you a moment ago. He says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." And it's counsels plural there. So God has many counsels in His Word. But in verse 24, the way of life, I think this connects with the counsel of the Lord in verse 22 and the answer that we give from the Word of God, and especially in due season in verse 23. So he says the way of life here, in other words, the fruit of eternal counsel leads to eternal life. And you can write down chapter 14 and verse 32. So he says, "The way of life is above." Notice that. "Above to the wise." The wise are those that fear God. The wise are those that receive God's counsel. And then when he says above here, he's talking about upward, heaven, glory, our eternal home. As in John 14, verses 1 through 6, the Lord Jesus giving comfort to his disciples the night before his death. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And he also says that he was going away, but he would return again. So we find here those who fear him are the wise, those who receive his counsel, and they have a home in heaven because they've received the eternal counsel that leads to eternal life. And here's two other verses speaking of the believer and the wise. Philippians 3:20, we find that our conversation is in heaven. And in verse 21, he speaks of the glorification of our body one day. Then in Colossians 3, verse 2, our affections are on things above. So that's the positive side of this verse. Notice the opposite of this, verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that is to the saved, to those who love God, those who fear God, those who are following God. Then he says in verse 24, that he may depart, of course this is positive to the Christian, that he may depart from hell beneath. We talked about above, the wise, the saved, and beneath, talking about downward or destruction or death. But he also mentions hell here in this passage. And the Hebrew word, sheol, sometimes can be the grave, and sometimes it can be hell itself, hell fire. And obviously in this place, he's talking about hell fire. In other words, it's not the grave here. It's the place of the departed spirits of those that are lost. Now, all men go to the grave, whether saved or lost. Each and every one will go to the grave. But not all go to hell. And as we read through the Scriptures, we find that in Matthew 25, two verses that mention this, verse 41 and 46, he talks about those that are cast into hell, eternal fire, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who it was originally. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. Why do men and women get in there? Because of their rejection of the truth of God. In Matthew 23, verse 33, there are those who are going to receive the damnation of hell. Then in Matthew 10 and verse 28, we're not to fear man who can only kill the body, but we're to fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So what we learn here in these verses, and especially verse 24, there are two paths, two different journeys. One is above heaven, and the other one is beneath, below, it is hell. And so that's what we get out of verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Would you stand with me this evening? Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for, again, the privilege that you've given us to assemble together in thy house with thy people. Lord, we pray for your blessings upon the remaining of the singing, our time here at the altar as we pray and the prayer request. We pray for the one that's traveling in our church this week. We pray for the family that's sick. We pray, God, your blessings upon them and each and every one here tonight. Lord, we just pray thy will to be done in each of our life. And we ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.